sun and check on vulnerable neighbors. Highs in the mid-80s today, overnight low in the upper 60s. This is Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. Brian Wilson recently passed away, just a few days short of his 82nd birthday. Today's program is a tribute to his genius, Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson was 19 years old in 1961 when he began his career with the Beach Boys. He was their leader. He was the songwriter, the producer, the co-lead vocalist, bassist, keyboardist. The band consisted of his two younger brothers, Dennis and Carl, along with his cousin Mike Love. Brian Wilson became the first pop musician credited for writing, arranging, producing, and performing his own material. When Brian Wilson was 7 or 8 years old, he took 6 weeks of accordion lessons, and he performed choir solos at church. His choir director said he had perfect pitch. His brother Carl introduced him to R&B. When he was 12 years old, his family got an upright piano, and he learned to play the piano by spending hours just figuring out his favorite songs by ear. He learned how to write manuscript music. He sang at school functions with friends and family at home, and he and his two brothers, Dennis and Carl, he taught them how to sing harmony parts, which they would rehearse together at home. He played piano obsessively after school. He was really deconstructing the harmonies of the four freshmen. He'd take their songs and he'd figure out note by note what their harmonies were on the keyboard. When he got into high school, he played quarterback on the football team. He played in the baseball team. He ran cross country when he was 16 years old. He received a portable 2-track woolen sack tape recorder. That's where you can record more than one track, and you would record tracks and bounce it to the others. And he learned his first production techniques when he was 16. It was only 3 years later when the Wilson brothers, including the cousin Mike Love and a friend of theirs from high school named Al Jardine, recorded their first music. Brian and Mike Love co-wrote the group's first song called Surfin', and their father, Murray, became their manager. In 1962, Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys signed a 7-year contract with Capitol Records. Now, normally, they would record in the Capitol studio, but Brian insisted that the studios were not sufficient to record the sessions that he had in mind, so he got permission to control in his own studio and to handle the production. This was highly unusual at this time. In 1963, he produced the second album from the Beach Boys, Surfin' USA. Now, because he got so busy with the production in the studio, he limited his actual live appearances with the band, and this began a long-term trend where he did not perform as often with the Beach Boys. He was back in the studio writing and producing songs, and his friend Al Jardine took his place. It wasn't until their third album that he was finally credited as the producer of Surfer Girl, recorded in June and July of 63. In February 1964, Beatlemania swept the U.S., and it really affected Brian Wilson. He began a musical competition, a kind of rivalry between Brian Wilson and the Beatles, mainly Paul McCartney. It was later that year in 1964 when he suffered his first nervous breakdown. He was always very mentally fragile. In December of 1964, he was accompanying the other Beach Boys for a tour, but during the flight from Los Angeles to Houston, he experienced a nervous breakdown, sobbing uncontrollably. The rest of the band were totally unprepared. Al Jardine said, quote, "None of us had ever witnessed something like that." He had a series of breakdowns during his life. 1965, He started experimenting with LSD and other drugs. And it was during that first trip that he composed California Girls. That song is California Girls by the Beach Boys, released in July of 1965. And yeah, you know, Brian Wilson had said that he had written the song while on his first acid trip, but in a 2021 documentary called The Long Promised Road, he said that he wrote the song during the week after the trip. And he explained that he had gone to his piano and, quote, was thinking about the music from cowboy movies, and I sat down and I started playing it. Bum-ba-dee-da, bum-ba-dee-da. I did that for about an hour. I got these chords going. Then I got this melody. It came pretty fast after that. He said that California Girls was like the Drifters version of On Broadway, and sometimes he said that the shuffle beat in California Girls was influenced by Bach. Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. You know, I mentioned earlier that Brian felt a musical competition with the Beatles, and it really prompted and inspired him. But after the Beach Boys released California Girls, the Beatles came back with Back in the USSR. You know, the Ukraine girls really knock me out. They leave the West behind. It's kind of interesting. The next album from the Beach Boys was Pet Sounds, released in May of 1966. And, you know, Wilson recorded that album across many different Hollywood studios using the Beach Boys for the vocal parts, but using session musicians for the backing tracks. You know, it did okay in the United States, but it really took off in England. And that was attributed to the fact that the Beatles' former press officer, Derek Taylor, moved to California and became the Beach Boys' publicist in 1966. And he launched a major media campaign to kind of promote Brian Wilson as a genius. His reputation really boosted the critical success of Pet Sounds in the UK. The song God Only Knows was co-written by Brian Wilson and Tony Asher, who was producing the album Pet Sounds. It was released on July the 18th in 1966. It used about 20 session musicians who played drums, sleigh bells, clarinets, flute, strings, French horn, accordion, guitars, upright bass, harpsichord, piano. Brian's brother Carl Wilson sang the lead, and it has been regarded as his best vocal performance ever.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
By that time, Brian Wilson wanted to move the group beyond their surf music and hot rod songs. He thought that it was outdated and was distracting from his own talents as the producer and songwriter behind the Beach Boys. Derek Taylor, their press agent, said that the Beach Boys' clean-cut all-American image had, quote, done them a hell of a lot of damage. Brian in particular suffered. Later that year, the Rolling Stone editor, Jan Wenner, reported that British fans thought that the Beach Boys were, quote, years ahead of the Beatles, and he declared Wilson a genius. John Lennon said he was a genius. Clapton told Melody Maker that Brian Wilson is without doubt a pop genius. And so it was throughout the summer of 66 that Brian was finishing the group's next single, Good Vibrations. Released in October of 1966, Good Vibration was the Beach Boys' third U.S. number one hit, and it also became their very first number one hit in Britain.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind. good perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good Vibrations was released by the Beach Boys on October the 10th in 1966. I'm Kathy Geary, and on today's program, we're exploring the life, the creativity, and the genius of Brian Wilson. After finishing Good Vibrations, Brian Wilson began collaborating with Van Dyke Parks on an album that he planned called Smile. It was the follow-up to Pet Sounds. Brian said that, quote, Smile was, quote, a teenage symphony to God. Smile was never finished. A lot of it had to do, well, it was mainly due to Brian's failing mental condition and exhaustion. Brian had a really rocky time. He had a very complicated life after that. He went up. He went down. He gained weight. He lost his mind. He entered different therapy sessions. He worked through all kinds of things. He had a big recluse period where he just wouldn't come out. In the 70s, late 70s and 80s, he was hospitalized. He continued doing lots of drugs. He had a very hard time. But what is sweet for me, and what is really meaningful for me, is that he had a resurgence. Early in 2000, Brian Wilson released his very first live album, Live at the Roxy Theater. And then he did a tour, a full U.S. tour, with live performances of Pet Sounds, with Brian Wilson backed by a 55-piece orchestra. Van Dyke Parks wrote the overture arrangement, and it wasn't that well attended. But it was followed by a similar tour in Europe in 2002, and it was sold out at the Royal Festival in London. And then they released another live album, Brian Wilson's Presents Pet Sounds Live. He agreed to do another tour with songs from the unfinished Smile album. It was called Brian Wilson Presents Smile, and it premiered at the Royal Festival Hall in London in February of 2004. And in September, the Brian Wilson Presents Smile debuted at number 13 on the Billboard 200. A compilation album from the Smiles recording was finally released as a box set on October the 31st in 2011. The Smile Sessions. And it's kind of like a holy grail for Beach Boys fans. It was the pinnacle. It was the pinnacle of the work that Brian Wilson was doing through the 60s with the Beach Boys, his collaboration with Van Dyke Parks. What an incredible recording. It was included in the Rolling Stone list of the greatest albums of all time. It won the Grammy Award for the Best Historical Album at the 2013 Grammy Awards. The song Heroes and Villains was the very first collaboration between Brian Wilson and Van Dyke Parks. He wanted it to be a 3-minute musical comedy, kind of like he wanted it to surpass Good Vibrations. And they produced several versions of Heroes and Villains, some lasting 6 or 8 minutes. Let's listen.
I've been in this town so long, been back in the city. I've been taken for a lost to come, and I've known for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home, home of the heroes and villains. Once at night, Cotillion Square in light, and she was bright in the rain of the poets that adventure would have brought her. She's still dancing in the night, unafraid of what it do in a town full of heroes and
in the
cantina. Margaritas keep the spirit high. There I watched her. She spun around and wound in the warmth. Her body fanned the flame of the dance. Margarita, don't you know that? My children were raised, you know, they suddenly rose. They started slow, long ago, head to toe, healthy, wealthy, and wise. I've been in this town so long to the city. I'm fit with the stuff to ride in the rough, and sunny down snuff, I'm all right by the hero's end.
Brian Wilson passed away 9 days before his 83rd birthday. He passed away on June the 11th, 2025. And a few days later, on June 17th, Van Dyke Parks wrote an essay. For me, it's like a eulogy for Brian Wilson. And even as much as I love Brian Wilson's music, I never knew him personally. And I think what Van Dyke Parks has to say about him is truly astounding. So I would like to read to you from the essay by Van Dyke Parks. This is the quote. It was the Beatles publicist Derek Taylor, who I met backstage at their first concert at the Hollywood Bowl, who first declared, "Brian Wilson is a genius," as a part of a 1966 publicity campaign. I knew that word would come back to haunt Brian, and it did. From then on, he was competing in a world of heightened expectations. But he did that very bravely all his life. He was basically forever competing against a previous version of himself. But as the great American beat poet Lewis McAdams said, quote, "If it's not impossible, I'm not interested." As for lyrics, you can't beat "I'm a cork on the ocean until I die" for a redux of thought from a Beach Boy. I will call that genius. And I think the word does apply to Brian. He had so many gifts. One of them was mutual empowerment. He brought out the best in everyone around him. In the studio, under great tensile strength, the things he could do with a piano, bass, and maybe a couple of guitars were like him entering a dark room and breathing light and life into it. He was a celebratory spirit with a dark coda on his life, the burden of some psychosis. I don't believe that was caused by drugs. I think it was in his genes. But he had the ability to dig deep. He had a disciplined spiritual force and had sat on church pews and had learned musical lingos, had loved and absorbed everything from barbershop quartets to calypso to composers to Gershwin. He was growing up when they coined the expression Americana and configured all of this into a new kind of pop. Equally, he was a positive social force while Rome was burning, and certainly Vietnam was. People were being hosed down in Selma, Alabama, on civil rights marches, and there was panic and apprehension and assassinations. But against that backdrop, we got the tonic of Brian Wilson's music. I'm glad he didn't see a state senator shot down to the ground this weekend. In mid-1960s Laurel Canyon, I was very active and had played on stuff like the Bird's Fifth Dimension. David Crosby encouraged me to become a bird, but I wasn't strong enough to be that. They were wonderful people, and Roger McGuinn was a great lyricist. I did everything in my power to surround myself with superior talents and really found one in Brian. I can't remember whether it was David or Bird's producer Terry Melcher or talent agent Lauren Schwartz who introduced us, but I went over when they were working on Good Vibrations. I suggested that cello parts with triplets played arco with a bow that became part of the song's signature, like the Ruby Slippers and the Wizard of Oz. I thought I might get taken on as an arranger, or rather a musician trying to become an arranger. But that wasn't the job Brian had for me at all. Suddenly, I was a lyricist. At that time, I knew nothing about Brian Wilson. I was a Beatles fan, and lyrics weren't really my background. It's possible that he'd heard my song, High Coin, first recorded in 1965 by Rick Gerard, with psychedelic band The Charlatans had done in San Francisco to very minor impact. When I rode up to Brian's poolside mansion in Beverly Hills on a motorcycle, I was pulled over by a cop who asked me what I was doing in such a neighborhood. He didn't believe me, so he accompanied me to Brian's front door. When Brian answered, it turned out that the cop's sister went out with Dennis Wilson. It was all smoothed over. But Brian asked me what I needed that would draw less attention. At that time, a Volvo was the safest car built. The next day, I got a check, with no conditions, for $5,000 to buy myself a Volvo. I hardly knew this man, but sometimes good things happen on trust. We wrote songs right there in his living room. The first was Heroes and Villains. Brian was the leader and came up with the melody and with it the required number of syllables. I started. I've been in this town so long that back in the city, I've been taken for lost and gone and unknown for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home, home of the heroes and villains, and never changed a syllable. I envisioned a country and western ballad, a story kind of. It was a beautiful experience. One of the eureka moments of my relationship with Brian Wilson. We came up with Surf's Up in one night. We talked about how classical music had died and was being replaced by something else, and there were things to be discovered. I sat there with Brian as we were reinventing the song form. One of the things he did then was record in modular fragments, sessions which would then be put together as opposed to whole songs, a bit like the way people like Robert Altman were making movies.
The diamond necklace played the pawn, and a handsome drummed along, walked to a handsome man at baton. Up blind class aristocracy, back through the opera glass, you see the pit and the pendulum drum. Brush the backdrop. Are you sleeping? velvet overtaken me, dim chandelier awaken me to a song dissolved in the dawn. The music hall, the costly bow, the music all is lost for now to a muted trumpeter's swan.
That song is called Surf's Up, written by Brian Wilson and Van Dyke Parks, originally recorded in 1967 for the Smile album, but never released until 2011 with the Smile Sessions. I'm going to be finishing the essay that Van Dyke Parks wrote as a tribute to Brian Wilson. Van Dyke Park wrote this on June 17th in 2025. I don't know how much Brian consciously was trying to top Pet Sounds, but he wanted out of the box. Placing his piano in a sandbox in his living room wasn't an example of his craziness. It was both a pop art statement and his fantastic sense of humor. He'd wanted to drop the surfboard and progress, so I mischievously suggested the title, Surf's Up. It was naughty. But how could his cousin Mike Love, who Beach Boys singer and co-lyricist, who famously wasn't always receptive to Wilson and Park's experimentation, but how could his cousin Mike Love argue with a title like Surf's Up? I wanted to help Brian have a moment he deserved. The lyrics were inspired by an artist called Frank Holmes, whose pictures interested me, so I tried to adhere to them. Quote, Colonnatum ruins domino. Canvas the room and brush the backdrop. Are you sleeping? The lyrics are inadvertently about a man who attends a concert and has an epiphany. We did a whole bunch of songs. And Frank, who subsequently did the cover art, can testify that I suggested the title Smile for the album. During the recording sessions, Brian dominated the piano. Musicians would come and go, but Carol Kay on bass was very important. Elegant and swell, the only female on that set, and she played on so much stuff. Dennis Wilson was nice to me, and Carl Wilson knew what Brian was up against, so was inclined to promote his brother's search for freedom. But Brian had to fight to make an album at his own expense, and the group felt threatened, or diminished, maybe. I walked away. Wilson pulled Smile, which, although some tracks emerged, became a legendary lost album. He withdrew further into drug use. A few years later, I was in a Warner Brothers meeting about the Beach Boys' Holland album, which they said was unreleasable without Brian. Mo Austin, the chief executive, said to me, "Can you get Brian?" I went over to his place with my cassette recorder and came up with a few notes, the words "Sail On, Sail On Sailor," and the title "Sail On Sailor." It got him out of bed. We sent the tape to the Beach Boys, who recorded it for Holland in 1973. I take no further credit for a song which was sweet, desperate, and elevating, but it put me in the position of being an effective agitator. We reunited again for my 1995 solo album, Orange Crate Art, which reignited Brian's recording career. It was my last record for Warner's, and I was infatuated with the word orange because of its associations with Florida and California. He was sitting in a beach home looking at a television that wasn't on. So I wanted him to sing the word orange. He came to the studio, and when I got him in front of a microphone, he suddenly asked me, "Why aren't you singing this song?" I said, "Quite frankly, Brian, I just don't like the sound of my own voice." And quick as a flash, he said, "I don't blame you." That was Brian, dry as bones. When he became lead vocalist, it was different to the 1960s because of whatever had happened to him. And he was singing parts that I dictated. It sank without a trace, but it was a step forward. He realized he could get out of the tomb. Working together again on Brian Wilson's Presents Smile 2004, the album it was originally intended, was more of a long-distance love. I didn't have the chance to socialize with him at that time, but did some audio intervals, played some parts, and so on. I went to the triumphant Royal Festival Hall show in 2004, where he performed the Smile songs, and my only regret is that my parents weren't alive to see the joy those songs generated. Brian and I stayed in touch. My wife Sally and I were close to Brian and both of his wives. Our friendship spans decades, and his various associations and cast of characters. Losing him is so tough and leaves a vacuum. But Brian bloomed where he was planted, and his music documented America that no longer exists. He moved mountains. He changed the language. He treated me kindly when he didn't need to, and when people say his music is astonishing, I agree. This essay by Van Dyke Parks was published in The Guardian on June 17th in 2025. I'm Kathy Geary. You're listening to Now and Then. And on today's program, this is a tribute to Brian Wilson, who passed away on June the 11th in 2025. In June of 2012, the Beach Boys released the album called That's Why God Made the Radio. And it was Brian Wilson with his cousin Mike Love, Al Jardine, who'd played with them since the very beginning, David Marks, and Bruce Johnston. Let's listen.
Man, it's been too much time. Not a care in the world is where I want to
I realize my days are getting on. Sometimes I realize it's time to move along. And I wanna go home. Sunlight's fading and there's not much left.
That's why God Made the Radio was released in 2012, the 50th anniversaries of the Beach Boys. I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. On today's program, time to say goodbye to the great musician, Brian Wilson. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope you enjoyed the music. I hope you're well, and I hope you're safe. And once again, thank you so much for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Grizzly Bagels, small-batch handmade New York-style bagels in Roscoe, New York, grizzlybagels.com, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
This is Radio Catskill with the weather. A heat advisory is in effect for all of central New York and northeast PA. In Orange County, eastern Ulster, and the Hudson Valley, it's an extreme heat warning going through Wednesday evening. Multiple days of dangerous heat, high humidity, and heat index values above 100 degrees, with the worst heat Monday afternoon. Stay hydrated, stay out of the sun, and check on vulnerable neighbors. Highs in the mid-80s today, overnight low in the upper 60s. This is Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill brings the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania to life. We cover local stories, alert you to important information, and share cultural programming to keep local traditions alive. Visit protectmypublicmedia.org and safeguard public media's future.
Coming up tonight at 7, Liberation Station with me, Callison Stratton, featuring music by female and femme presenting performers, only on Radio Catskill.
This past week in New York City, 40 songwriters said goodbye to Apartment 9 at 178 West Houston. In this space, with a bathtub in the kitchen and a bathroom down the hall, decades of songs were birthed. Songwriter meetings featured Dave Van Ronk, David Massengill, Christine Lavin, Suzanne Vega. The upcoming Folk Plus will focus on this meeting and some of the musicians who attended over the years. That's Folk Plus next Sunday at 2 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.